Again, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak this evening. As I did this morning, I think I forgot to extend my thanks for the invitation to ask and to speak. Hopefully, I can fulfill God's Word by preaching the Gospel again this evening. If you would, turn with me to Romans, the 12th chapter, verse 1. In a few seconds, we'll be reading from there. Tim is out of town for those who are visiting with us, and so I'm filling in this week, and I think Brother Dave and Nathan's filling in next week, Lord willing. So let's support them, as you supported me this morning. Romans 12, chapter and verse 1. Paul is writing to the church of Rome. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is reasonable service. What I want to discuss this evening is, I beseech you. Paul is pleading with the congregation at the church of Rome. These things I ask you to do. I'm pleading with you to do these things, that you be found righteous in the sight of God. One of the first things he said, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Now, it's kind of hard to do. When you talk about presenting yourself as a living sacrifice, what are you trying to say? What are you presenting? What is Paul was trying to get across here within these verses? I believe in the fact that he is trying to tell us that we need to be living for God, that our lives should be trying to be as pure as can be. But at the same time, we should be willing to sacrifice our lives to the point of death in trying to teach God's law, God's truth. And if we're not willing to do such, then we shouldn't be Christian. We're going to lose our soul to our eternal damnation if we don't do these things. Please turn with me over to the book of Hebrews. And in the 10th chapter, in verse 18, now where there is remission of these, there is no longer an offering for sin. Therefore, brethren, have boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way which He consecrated for us, through the veil, that is, His flesh. Having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some, but exhorting one another, so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there is no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fire indignation, which will devour the adversaries. Paul, and I believe Paul wrote the letter here. Some disagree with that fact. But anyway, the writer here is trying to say that we need to enter the Holy of Holies. We enter the body of Christ through the death of Christ, through His resurrection, through being buried with Him in baptism. In verse 22, we have a high priest. It's over the house of God. Let us draw near with a true heart. And what? In true assurance of faith. Have our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, our bodies washed with pure water. Then it tells us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. We've got to be faithful. We got to have faith at all times, if possible. Sometimes we get a little weak. Sometimes we have a tendency to waver a little bit. But as living as a true and faithful sacrifice, a living sacrifice, we should be willing to devote everything we got in trying to remain faithful to God. Have a faith that is not wavering. Also, as Paul speaks in I beseech you, I think also he's saying we need to be followers of him. Now, you say, well, I thought we were supposed to be followers of Christ. Well, we are. But at the same time, Paul was a follower of Christ. He tried to do everything in accordance with God's will. Paul said to be imitators of him, as long as he was doing things in accordance to God's law. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. Let's begin with verse 10. Let's back up to verse 9. For I think that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death, for we have been a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst. We are poorly clothed, beaten, and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Being reviled, we bless. Being persecuted, we endure. Being defamed, we entreat. But we have made as the filth of the world the offscouring of all things until now. I did not write these things to shame you, but as beloved children, I warn you. As those you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, if I urge you, imitate me. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. What did Paul say? Look at the things we've done as the apostles. Look at the suffering, the shame, the ridicule. But they had to bless. They carried on trying to do God's work. They were ridiculed. They've done without food at times, clothing. They were the poorest clothed individuals around, probably. They didn't have the opportunity to carry much with them. Paul said they had to work with their own hands at times in trying to get the gospel taught. You be imitators of me, as I was an imitator of Christ. I tried to do the things that God set forth. Christ didn't have much. He didn't have a place to lay his head at times. And Paul said the same thing about some of the apostles. Especially him. He had no place to lay his head at times. He went out and went from city to city preaching God's word. Sometimes being persecuted, almost put to death for it. We likewise need to be the same way. Sometimes we have concern about what we wear, what we have in our homes. But I'll tell you what. Just having the bare necessities, you'll be happier than having everything that you can buy. I was thinking this morning as I was trying to play with my computer, and I just know enough to get in trouble. I just messed the computer up just enough. I can't get it to do what I want it to do sometimes. But the fact is, years ago, and I'll say about 20 years ago, I used to keep up mind-wise, by all the new gadgets that comes out. Now I'm afraid to touch half of it because I don't know what it can do. I don't know how to turn them on. You talk about MP3 players. I have no idea what it is. I've heard of them. I've seen them. I know you can record music or different things with it, but I'd be totally lost. I got older. I guess I get scared of certain things. I used to try to keep up with all this stuff. Now, I'm so far behind, it probably take me 20 years to catch up what I lost in the last 20. But, here we are. We have people that are trying to keep up with all these newfangled gadgets that are out there. Trying to buy everything on site. Trying to keep up with it. spend all their money, all their time at work trying to earn these things, when we should be spending that time trying to study the gospel, trying to teach our neighbor, trying to work for our neighbors, trying to encourage one another as Christians, visiting the hospital. Those who are in. Those who are having surgery. How often do we pray for one another? How often do we sit down in prayer? Paul prayed for all these congregations that he worked with. How often do we pray for the other congregations nearby that are likewise trying to teach the truth? How often do we pray for those who are lost and try to get the gospel to them? If I knew how to send an email, I could probably help and try and teach that gospel. But I can work with my neighbors. I can send them a CD that has been copied. I can give them flyers. I can print some things off the computer that I can give to them that might help them. Why don't we do it? Why don't we be imitators of Paul? That we are willing to sacrifice our life and do without in trying to teach gospel. Also in 2 Corinthians, the 6th chapter, and verse 1. I believe Paul says when he says, I beseech you, we need to also be beseeched in that we receive not the grace of God in vain. In 2 Corinthians 6 chapter verse 1, we then as workers together with Him also plead with you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For He says, in an acceptable time I have heard you. In the day of salvation I have helped you. Now, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense in anything that our ministry may not be blamed. But in all things we commend ourselves as ministers of God in much patience, in tribulation, in need, distresses, in stripes, imprisonment, in turmoils, in labors, in sleeplessness, in fasting, by purity, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness of the Holy Spirit, by sincere love, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right and on the left, by honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true, as unknown and yet well known, as dying, behold, we live, as chastened, yet not killed, as sorrowful, yet not rejoicing, as poor, yet not making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O Corinthians, we have spoken openly to you. Our heart is wide open. Don't put these things in vain. You had the gospel. It's been given to you. Receive it. Don't throw it away when you have the opportunity to take it. But many of us do, whether we realize it or not. Every time we sin, we set aside the Word of God. We make it in vain. We need to go to God in prayer and ask forgiveness of our sins and draw back closer to God as we should. And as Paul was writing to the church of Corinth, we gave no offense in anything. We didn't teach anything that didn't need to be taught. We gave you the whole gospel. All of it. We needed to teach on things that needed to be taught at the proper time. And they did it. He didn't make it in vain. He didn't waste his time with them. He taught it as it was. As it was needed. And we need likewise to do the same thing. And that we go through the same things that Paul listed here in verses 4 through 9. Verse 10. We become rich by enduring to the gospel. We possess all things by holding on to the gospel. We can become, like writer mentioned in James, the first chapter, and verse 4 through end of the chapter. I like to read verse 22 on. Be ye doers of the words, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forget what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continue in it, is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Don't be like this individual. Hears God's word and don't do it. Do it. Ever look at yourself in your mirror? I bet I looked in that mirror 15 times before I walk out the house. Make sure to tie straight, hair comb. Didn't miss nothing while I'm shaving. But, you know, every time I turn around, I forget what I look like. Maybe it's a good thing. I don't know. But we do forget. We do forget what we look like. We do sometimes hear God's word, and then we forget it as soon as we heard it. How many times have we told a man as we walked out the door, what a wonderful lesson? How many times have we told Tim and some of those who held a gospel meeting for us, what a fine lesson? What we needed. Then about a half hour later after we got home, can't remember anything that's been taught. We're just like this individual in this chapter. We hear it, instead of doing it, instead of applying it, we forget it. Made God's word in vain. Ephesians, the fourth chapter, in verse 1. Paul says, I beseech you. I think he's also saying that we need to walk worthy of the calling in which we are called. Chapter 4 and verse 1 of Ephesians. I therefore, as a prisoner of the Lord, beseech you to walk worthy of the calling which we are called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep in unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, is above all and through all and in you all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Walk worthy of what? The calling of Christ. How? By being humble. Lowliness. Gentleness. We need to be long-suffering. Bearing one another in love. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the church. Also have peace with one another. Do we? Are we endeavoring to keep, as Paul says, I beseech you to do? How much do we care about one another? How much do we pay attention to one another's needs and troubles? I don't think we have that much problem in this congregation, but there are some that do have a lot of problems. Sometimes I believe the congregation gets a little too big, that they can't do the proper things that they need to be doing. Sometimes they just don't know the other people within that congregation. And there is a problem. How low are we? How humble are we? Do we think ourselves better than others? We need not to. We're to be humble in the sight of God. We need to be humble when we become obedient to His will. Likewise, Paul says, I beseech you. In 1 Peter, as Peter wrote, in the 2nd chapter, verse 11, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against your soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. Therefore, submit yourself to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the king as supreme, or to the governors, as to those who were sent by him for the punishment of evildoers, for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men." We need to abstain from fleshly lusts. We need to abstain from things that will drag us away from God. In 1 John, 2nd chapter, in verse 16, it talks about three categories of sin. It says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world." Anything we are involved in that is contrary to God's will can be characterized underneath one of these three. And we need to avoid it as much as we can. Difficult times, yeah. Sometimes we're weak. But we need to turn our faith back to God and think what God has done for us. And that suffering upon the cross that Christ went through to save us from our sins. And if we do that, I believe we can stay away from temptation. We have an avenue of escape a lot of times if we look. Sometimes we just don't look hard enough. Sometimes it's right in front of us and we trip over it, ignoring. And we need to try to avoid that as much as possible. As I said, in 2 Peter, the 2nd chapter, in verse 11, or 1 Peter, excuse me, as the Apostle or Peter said, we're sojourners, we're pilgrims, we're only going to be here for a short time. And there are things at war against our soul. And he told them, he says, "You have your conduct honorable among the Gentiles. Even though they speak evil of you, you continue doing what's good. You'll put them to shame." There are a lot of individuals that will hate you and will say things about you and try to destroy you by speaking evil of you. Of this congregation or any other congregation, trying to tear them down. But if you're trying to do what God's will, you'll prove them wrong each time. And they'll look foolish. And they'll answer for it to judgment day. And finally, Paul, I think, means when I say I beseech you, we need to learn to love one another. And 2 John, 5th chapter, and John is a great writer in all three books. He actually talks about love a great deal. But in verse 5 of 2 John, "And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I write a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to His commandments. This is the commandment, that we have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it." We've always heard God tell us, love one another. That was in the Ten Commandments. How we should treat one another. How we should care about one another. How we ought not to do certain things to one another. Because we should love, care, be there. And it's been given to us all through time. Since the beginning of time. And we keep talking about it. I grew up in the 60s, and that's all you heard. from the hippies at that time. Love, peace, honor. But at the same time, these are the same individuals tearing each other apart, going after one another. Why? Love's easy sometimes to say. We need to prove it. We need to do it. We need to show we care. That's where it becomes difficult. And sometimes we think, as parents, and I've seen parents do this with their children, they can't spend much time with them, so what they do, they buy them things, thinking that's showing them love. It's not. Sometimes that child, all she wants or he wants is 10, 15 minutes of your time. And sometimes that is more important to them than anything you could ever get them. Same way with grown-ups. Same way as Christians. Sometimes a 5-minute talk with another member about their difficulties, their troubles, can do a great deal. We're to be there for one another. We're to care. We need to give advice at times. Maybe it's just a leaning shoulder that they can cry on, that they can express their problems. And sometimes just expressing those problems would just lift a great burden off of them at times. Are we there? Do we show that we care? We need to. These things, I believe, Paul was trying to get across and trying to say, I beseech you, search. I beg you, try to do these things. We need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Must be willing to live for Christ. Present our bodies presentable that we can face God at the judgment day and enter into heaven. That we are followers of Paul because Paul was an imitator of Christ. That we receive not the grace of God in vain. That we don't make it worthless. That we step on it and destroy it by the way we act. That we walk worthy of the calling where we are called. That we abstain from fleshly lusts and that we love one another. I hope the things that I mentioned this evening will be beneficial to all. That we take and apply these things to our lives and become better members of the body. We plead that with those who are here this evening that have not yet become obedient to God's will. You heard God's word, what you must do to some extent. You must hear His word. You must believe. Christ came down, lived upon the face of this earth, and died for your sins. Died upon that cross. Went through that pain and suffering as He did, so that we can have heaven for our home. We must repent of our sins. Be willing to change our life. Live for God, not for ourselves. Confess. Jesus is the Son of God. That He can confess us before His Father and angels. Be baptized, be buried with Him in a watery grave. Raise up a new creature. Then live a faithful life until death. That's the key. We do all these things, and sometimes we fall short. Maybe we brought reproach upon ourselves, upon the body of Christ. We need to go to Him in prayer and ask for forgiveness of our sins. Also ask for forgiveness of the brother for what we've done. Are we in that shape? Have we fallen short? We may have done everything up until this point, but we failed to remain faithful. We need to come back to God at this time. Now is the plan of salvation. There may be no tomorrow. Yesterday is too late. Now is the time. Hard to say what could happen if we walk down the street or go down the road to go home. You're not guaranteed life. I'm not guaranteed seeing that sun tomorrow. None of us are. Think about these things. Your soul, its destiny, as we stand to sing the song of invitation.